This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Oh, my heavens. We have way too much to talk about tonight. Whether it's looking back or just looking at tonight. So, Jeffrey, you're familiar. I don't know when anyone invented the term sports equinox, but that's what we evidently have tonight. Because for only the 31st time, I think it is, in history, we have NHL games, NBA games, MLS games, NFL game, and a Major League Baseball game. Obviously, Game 3 of the World Series tonight. We got Monday Night Football tonight.
Holy cow, the MLS has been around 31 years.
Is that true? Well, here I'll tell you my issue. There's no question. This is a fabulous time for a sports
unbelievable. Fan. To be a sports fan right now, this is what we live for.
I think.
Yeah, 93. Wow.
To focus on those five sports as the definition of the equinox, there's no question that the NFL should be in there.
Yes.
The NBA should be in there. Uh-huh. And Major League Baseball should be in there. Yeah. Right. So we got those three.
The problem is college football should be in there.
If you're really talking about, whoa, it couldn't get possibly bigger than this, you would have a college football game. And honestly, I don't know how MLS, NHL, WNBA, like I don't know how those things sort themselves out in terms of popularity.
I'm with you because,
hey, this is you selected these, but I don't think it's an accurate. This is not the biggest possible we could imagine. It is still crazy big.
The four biggest sports in the country are NFL, college football, NBA, Major League Baseball.
And if they're all playing, that's really the sports equinox. And then the rest of it is...
And honestly, probably the fifth biggest sports, college basketball.
That may be. Speaking of which, it's not part of the equinox.
I was going to say, it's not an official game.
But we got Memphis versus Alabama tonight as well. It's just ridiculous. We've got Grizz playing tonight. Very busy week for the Grizz as they are home tonight against the Bulls, and then Wednesday night the Nets, and then Thursday
that's the Bucks game.
Bucks game on Halloween. Here's the question: if your goal is to be there to watch Ja, and if it is, I think you're a smart individual because that dude is electric. Even in the quote-unquote quiet game that he had Saturday.
It's so much better. It's so much better.
If your goal is to watch Ja, tonight, Wednesday, Thursday, he will not play all of those games. And Saturday, he was questionable and said he only played. Good for Ja for calling it Twitter. Shout out to Grizz Twitter. He said it was only Grizz Twitter that persuaded him to play. I don't know if it was Grizz Twitter beseeching him or Grizz Twitter doubting him or maybe
seeing Grizz Twitter on fire again that gave him the lift. He's like, you know what? It's the home opener. I got to get out there.
I think it was the agony that was expressed on Grizz Twitter that he might not play that persuaded him to play. Anyway.
See, our complaining does change the world.
Whining is really, you know what? Squeaky wheel grease, all that. This is something I just came
trademark
up with.
Trademark this?
Trademark. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, that's true. Like, the wheel, if you were to
you gotta put WD-40 on a wheel.
On one of your wheels
with
not
no
squeaky, you need the squeak in order to get the grease. Exactly. So the squeaky wheel was Grizz Twitter. When is he playing? When is Ja playing? You're using your strategery to focus on a Ja game. You got tonight, Wednesday, Thursday.
If you're doing it competitively, shouldn't Wednesday be the night off?
Well, also Thursday, Halloween that they're giving out.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
So. I don't think they really. very high on the list of when a player plays or not is aligning
it's promotion
with the
night
giveaways.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, so we got a massive week of Grizzlies. We got Tiger basketball in action in the Rocket City Classic tonight against a formidable Alabama team. We got World Series Game 3. We got Monday Night Football. Okay, that's fine.
let me be the first to congratulate the Steelers on their sixth win of the season.
We have but Russ makes it interesting.
Does he?
Kind of.
The Giants don't really make it interesting. Heads up, we're a bad watch.
And so that's looking forward and looking backward. Also crazy because it was a ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous sports weekend. We will today.
Did you feel bad about whining and complaining and dreading a Seattle game that was never close?
I would never feel bad about that. I just laugh at myself.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh at myself that I...
think they had 70 yards of offense in the first half. 70.
I thought Kenneth would go off,
mm-hmm.
and he like ran for
correct
like nothing. Yes. Yeah, basically.
And we're not blaming nothing. Kenneth Walker for that loss.
Right, like, no. By the way, it's funny. John bet on the Bills yesterday.
Yeah,
and he won some money on the Bills, and he's become a Josh Allen believer and defender. And someone then comes back at him with, wait till the play. I don't know where that comes from either. Look at I don't have it in front of me. 45 touchdowns to 6 interceptions or something in the playoffs. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's been great in the playoffs, legitimately great in the playoffs. The only reason he didn't beat Mahomes is he left 13 seconds left on the clock.
And he called tails on the coin toss.
And so, I mean, he's been legit great in the playoffs. Bills have now their 40th. 20th point win of the
I've
season.
A lot
I guess
of that
it's
is
not the, over for them.
A lot of that's Lamar people trying to fight fire with fire.
I mean, that is the fair criticism of Lamar.
Right. But it's
he's
it's,
a regular season
it's
the, guy.
It's failed. Trying to bring him down with him.
But it's those are
they're not the same.
Those are not the same at all. I'm not saying that this year isn't going to be Lamar's year, whatever else. But you just line up their playoff stats. One flounders in the playoff. One flourishes in the playoff.
Yes.
Anyway. Not be that as it may, it's not a Bills show. Much as I could make it that. Anyway, so there you go. Tonight we will do the fight song roundup. We'll mostly talk about college football in the second segment because we got some Grizz highlights we want to play. So we'll talk about Memphis and you know what it was, Jeffrey. It was a weekend. I'm going to play their fight songs because they got the W's and it was sort of an interesting, curious week. Like, what do you do with a lot of teams that sort of just escaped?
Yeah,
right. Memphis escaped. Ole Miss, they didn't escape, but it wasn't a resounding showing. But I'll play their fight song anyway.
But right? Ohio State?
Ohio State, very clearly.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. We're not playing that fight song. We will do the fight song roundup in the next segment. Then Chris Harrington will join us. If you missed Chris's piece on Saturday's extravaganza, you shouldn't. I've tweeted it out. You can relive the whole night in its gloriousness by rereading Chris. I wrote a column as well on that night, a rare sports Grizzlies gamer for me, and Drew Hill also. So we had it covered over at the Daily
Memphian.
He had
a bad day yesterday.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bears. Jason and
Drew. He was going through it.
Jason and Drew, man.
Philip.
That's the other thing. Like, that happened. It's not just that we had the sports over the weekend. It's we had the drama. We had Freddie Freeman. We had the walk-off Grand Slam. And we'll talk about this later on in the show. But that Hail Mary was maybe the Hail Mary to end. I mean, you know, Flutie. Flutie was more meaningful. Flutie to Gerard Phelan, right? Whatever. There are others that have been more meaningful. Drew Pearson. Catch one for the Cowboys way back when. Preston Pierce, Drew Pearson, way back when. Who else? Stephon Diggs had a big one.
Well, I mean, there's all of Rodgers. You have the Thursday night winning for the Lions, I think, is because that's a game winner. I do think game winner has to be the other part of it.
Yes. But also, the fact that it took so long.
Yes.
It was...
He had not one, but two scrambles on the play.
It was unbelievable. We'll get to that as well. So we have a very busy day. I want to start by... we're going to start by talking about the Grizzlies Saturday because I'll be honest. After Friday, I was a little worried about this team. In fact, I'll give a little bit of it. Jeffrey and I were talking Saturday, and I was saying this team's going to suck. I looked at what happened Friday. The problem is you've got these early sample sizes, and I am not Mr. Down the Middle, particularly for teams that I care about. I'm prone to overreaction. Look at the Bills. Look at how I treat the Bills. So teams I really care about, I'm prone to pessimism and overreaction, and Friday provided ample fuel for all of that.
The third quarter, most certainly.
The third quarter Friday was just a disaster. And you look like you're playing guys who just like, how are you going to win with this? You know, like, really, how are you going to win with Jalen Wells and Jake LaRavia and getting pounded on the boards, getting physically overwhelmed? And you don't sort of see where's the physicality and rebounding going to come from. Sure, you're going to get Jaren back in the lineup, but he's not exactly going to tear down walls and grab rebounds for you. That's not Jaren. So I was deeply pessimistic over Saturday's game and
Friday's
game. No, but about Saturday's game coming off of Friday's game.
Correct.
And then you got Paolo Banchero, like he's going to just go crazy on you. And then you have the injury report. You don't know if I always thought Jaren was going to play, even though that was also listed as a game time decision. Literally, when we talked to Taylor Jenkins 2 hours before the game, he said both Jaren and Ja were game time decisions. But I'm like, oh, what kind of opener is this going to be? Don't you think there was anxiety throughout the fan base? I don't think it was just me. I'm prone to a little overreaction.
There was definitely,
grant you that.
Friday night was definitely the first time like Grizz Twitter was in midseason form of let's bitch about the rotations, guys that were playing, you know, the combinations of guys that were playing. Why, like there was that. I do not think that everybody was dreading Saturday's game as you were though, but there was real
fretting,
correct,
fretting about, worried about Saturday's game. And it is interesting, and we'll get into this with Chris, the rotation stuff, because Chris asked Taylor Jenkins before Saturday's game. He's like, is this going 11 deep, the relatively flat minutes? Is this an effort to ramp people up, or people are coming back from injury, or is it? And Taylor Jenkins said, no. He said, this is when we play with this pace, when we play the way we want to play, this is what we're going to do. And I don't know. We'll see how that holds up. I don't need to see a lot of Jake LaRavia and Jalen Wells and whatever. And of course, it'll be different when you get the guys back healthy, right? Then you may be able to go 11 deep and everyone can play. But anyway,
I'm with you. I do have a little concern of this is a little, like, if we're going to be fair and not be hypocrites, like, this is the kind of stuff that Penny does that drives us insane.
Right. It's now, what's interesting is, of course, Hubie did this.
Yeah, but that was, I don't know. I guess
Hubie did this. Hubie's like,
Hubie
didn't have superstars.
Correct. Like,
he had Powell, but
there was no ever
clear
collection of three guys. You know what I mean?
We'll get into this because I want to celebrate. But anyway, so I was worried about Saturday, and then I have to say, as much fun as that game was, and everything about them, they're playing all the hits. You got the Grizz grannies and grandpas. You got the Lion King, the little baby in the bear suit.
Yeah, what do we call that moment that we do every year? But I guess it's...
Yes, that thing. You got that moment. You got Project Pat leading the team.
Yeah.
Leading the team in.
That got my wife so upset that she wasn't there.
It was...
She's like, he was there? He was MC?
It was... And then, of course, you had all of the basketball... so many highlights crammed into one evening. It was, again, read Chris because he chronicles all of them. I chronicle a few of them in my column. It was just fantastic.
The We Want Yuki chant.
What's that?
The We Want Yuki chant.
The We Want Yuki chant. It
was deafening.
It was incredible. But my favorite part of the night was, and I'm just kind of a sap, and so I do this. I go, and before the game, I go and I stand in the front lobby and watch people come in. And it's just the best. I know it's a little bit of a cliche to say that a sports team brings us together. In the end, we have our political differences and our economic differences, and Memphis can be polarized and stratified and all of that. I just don't believe there is another team in the NBA or maybe in any of the big sports that has as diverse a fan base as the Memphis Grizzlies. It's incredible. And people come pouring in through the turnstiles, and they're so damn happy. They're so damn happy, particularly Saturday. They were happy to be back. It was like, it's back. People still didn't know at that point if Ja would play, and people would come up and ask me if Ja was going to play, and the answer was we didn't know. At that point, he was now then warming up on the court. It looked positive, but we didn't know for sure. Just the diversity and the joy. And again, it's not the answer to all things, but at a time when people can't seem to talk about this city without bemoaning one thing or another, no one's thinking about that. Everyone's coming downtown. They're having a great time. They're excited about something that has Memphis across its chest. And it's pure enthusiasm. And I don't know, like I go back to, this is just true. That when the Grizzlies were brought to Memphis all those years ago, 24 years ago now, the folks on the Pursuit team brought them here specifically because they thought Memphis needed that. Memphis needed that. It wasn't just that, like there'd been the whole Pursuit in the NFL, so Memphis needed something major league. But I remember talking to Staley Cates about this, and he said the NBA is perfect for Memphis because of that, because of it appeals to so many across so many demographics. And we think that this can be something that really knits Memphians to one another. That was the expressed goal. It wasn't, I want to own an NBA team. Indeed, particularly the local owners, they've never been the majority owners. They were the instigators to bringing the team here, but they did it because they thought this was what Memphis need. Hell, Pitt Hyde was one of the major investors in this Grizzlies deal and has been all along, still involved. Pitt isn't some big sports fan. He didn't always want to own an NBA team. He's not Mark Cuban. They wanted to do this
He's not even Fred.
For Memphis. No.
Fred is a big sports fan.
Yes, Fred. He wanted to do this. They wanted to do this for Memphis. And when you watch people pouring in Saturday, it's just so much fun. And then, of course, there's all the people wherever you are watching on TV, if you can.
I would say some
struggling,
occasionally.
Struggling, intermittently.
Periodically throughout the night. Yeah.
Watching on TV. And then it's fun because then also some people do recognize me in my O'Call sport coat and come up and say how much they enjoy the radio show. And that's flattering, too. Some twins, 25-year-old twins, Austin and Trevor. They say they go to work free and they turn this on at 9 o'clock, straight up 9 o'clock. Boom, they're here. So they came to say hello. But Antonio Braxton, who's a sort of a high profile Grizz fan, he's got this massive collection of Grizz stuff. He came up and started talking to me about the first Grizz opener 24 years ago and how far we'd come. And then I talked to the woman who owns South Main Sushi, and she was there with 45 visitors from Japan who were there to see Yuki. And it's just the best. And at a time when Memphis has been struggling as a community, reality, of course, but also perception, the Grizzlies just do enormous things for that and can do enormous things for that. Maybe it was simplistic to say that the Believe Memphis Grizzlies and the Grit and Grind Grizzlies and whatever changed the way we perceived ourselves, but I think in a very real way they did. They came along and they were a big part of that whole, you know, burst of civic pride. And then the pandemic happened and the crime stuff happened. And honestly,
and the Jaw stuff happened.
To have the Grizzlies and the Jaw stuff happen. But to have the Grizzlies back providing a positive, upbeat, enthusiast, like, is critically important right now. It is. And by the way, it also is important to get them to sign another lease. Like, that's
sure
hangs in the balance. I've never been one. From the very moment they came here, I've been telling people, you know, they have a 30-year lease. They're not moving. Stop worrying about it. Well, now that lease is coming to an end. Now, if you want to worry about it, you can a little bit, because until that's done, I'm worried about it. But Saturday was spectacular, and to see all those people, it was literally the highlight of my night to see everyone pouring in and to see people so enthusiastic about them again. And then the night absolutely delivered. We're a little late to get to some highlights, Jeffrey, but let's do it anyway. Here we go. All right, here's Zach Edey. Work in progress.
Brings it inside the foul line. Kicks for the trailer. Bane all the way to the bucket. Drops to Edey for a two-handed jam. Oh, what a drive and drop by Desmond Bane. And Zach Edey with his hands up, ready to go.
Continues to be a little bit of a work in progress for Zach Edey. I still have hope.
Yeah, and you could hear the excitement.
And then later on, do we have that in our highlights?
Jaw to Edey?
No. Oh, yes. No, something else. He makes a little history. Highlight number 6. We'll get to it. All right, here's Santi. Had a big game. Then he had an off game. What happened Saturday?
Aldama gets a handoff from Pippen. Open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board, and Jamal Mosley has seen enough. He'll take the timeout. It's an 11-point Grizzly lead.
Grizzlies just jumped on him. They just jumped on him from the start. Santi with 22. Bounce back in a big way. But... the cult hero who has emerged early on in this Grizz season, none other than the 27-year-old former Virginia Cav, bounced around the league, ended up in Memphis. It is the man, the myth, the legend, the Hufflepuff, Jay Huff.
Pippen into the paint, out to Huff, tees up a three, bring it up, put three on the board, Jay Huff with another triple. And the Grizzlies up 10, 28-18.
That's not all a man can do. Here's more.
Banchero, left side, driving the lane. Huff blocks the shot, grabbed by Aldama. Here comes Morant, down in the center of the lane. Hangs, floats to the left hand, takes the contact, and gets the bucket.
Let's hear Elliott again. I like the Elliott interjections. Here we go.
Banchero, left side, driving the lane. Huff blocks the shot, grabbed by Aldama. Here comes Morant, down in the center of the lane. Hangs, floats to the left hand, takes the contact, and gets the bucket.
More Jay Huff.
He'll bring it into the front court quickly. Kicks left wing Jackson. Didn't shoot the three. Drives by Batazzi. Hangs, drops for Huff.
Oh!
Turns in midair and reverse jams over two Orlando players. What in the world just happened?
Jay Huff happened. That's what happened.
That's right.
Jay Huff happened. Two reverse jams on the night. He has been absolutely a revelation. Here's the history I mentioned earlier. It is the aforementioned Zach Edey.
So the free throw is missed. Inbounds to Edey. Right corner three, Zach Edey. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Edey was wide open. His first career three-point bucket.
There was just so much. There was just so much. So much good stuff, including Ja Morant.
So the free throw is missed. Inbound Morant against two defenders. Lobs it up for Aldama. How did he see him? Morant was in midair and caught a glimpse of Aldama and threw it up where the big fella could lay it home.
We had Aldama to Ja and then Ja to Aldama on successive plays. Here's more Ja to Edie.
He'll get a screen from Edie on his right. Uses it. Comes to the foul line. Lobs for Edie at the rim. There it is. The vision the Grizzlies had when they selected Zach Edie, number 9, is that play right there.
I bet you haven't had enough Jay Huff yet. Let's give him a whole little run here at Jay Huff highlights.
Here come the Grizz. Pippen on the attack for the trailer. Jay Huff straightaway three. Ring it up. Huh. Put three on the board. Jay Huff a big triple, and just like that, the Grizzlies a little bit back on track with 5 quick points to push the lead to 13.
Wow, that's a big shot by Jay Huff in transition.
Lob lead out ahead. Oh. Jay Huff again. As Smart leads it out for Huff, who goes in the air and reverse dunks it. What in the world has gotten into Jay Huff? Ball fakes, kicks to the right corner. Huff, open three, ring it up, put three on the board, and Jay Huff is lighting it up. 18 for Huff, and the fans love it.
That first three by Jay Huff was really critical.
It was starting to get weird.
Because there was a lot of talk pregame about how we can't have the third quarter that we had. And then postgame, it was like, yeah, we didn't let that happen. They did let it happen again.
It's like a 21-0 run.
But that Jay Huff sort of put an end to the restored order a little bit. Critical. And then the alley-oop from Marcus Smart, well beyond half court, another reverse jam. Watching Jay Huff, it's a little bit like I never quite understood how Ja could be under-recruited in high school. Because his talents are so clear. He is so athletic, so explosive, and he sees the floor so clearly, right? That I never really got it why he was on. And I also don't understand how Jay Huff, when you can shoot the way he shoots, which is not a recent skill.
No.
He shot that well at Virginia. And when you can block shots the way he blocks shots, which is not a recent skill, he blocked shots at Virginia. I still don't understand it. Anyway, there you go. He's been great. 18 points, career high. Santi was the leading scorer, though, in both wins, by the way.
Inbounds comes for Huff. Huff out top for Laravia to the left wing. Aldama launches a three. Bring it up. Put three on the board. Paolo Bancaro came out and closed out, and Aldama said, watch this one.
You know, you didn't need a lot of minutes. John, Dez, Jaren, all under 30 minutes. And you didn't really need more from him. Here's a little Dez.
Aldama zips it ahead for Bane. Right wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Grizzlies with back-to-back triples just like that. Lead once again, 112-89, a 23-point edge.
And we'll wrap it up with a Santi three.
Aldama up top for Clark. It's a big-time party tonight inside FedEx Forum. Aldama a three. Are you serious, Santi? Deep right side, ring it up, put three on the board. Aldama buries the triple with a hand in his face. He's got 22.
Grizz win. It does raise the question, a question Chris raised in his piece. Best Grizz home opener ever? I didn't go through them all, but I can't imagine there was a happier one.
That certainly stands out because most of them, I guess last year was the Knicks was no, it was 2 years ago was the Knicks game that went to overtime, but that was kind of uncomfortable. This one felt the most celebratory.
Well, A, it was really needed. You know,
sure.
It was really needed after last year. And so it was absolutely critical. And then it delivered on so many fronts. It was last year, you might go to the game and hope to find some joy somewhere. Here, it was every 30 seconds something that was, you know, whatever, the Zach Edey corner three. Like, that was great. And then, of course, you had the Yuki cheers. Yuki was the cheer. As the fans asked for Yuki, he makes his appearance. And, man, he got lit up. He absolutely got lit up. That was okay.
It was fun.
It was still. Jet Howard just took advantage of the fact that Yuki is 5'8", and did not go well for him. But it was fun to get him in on the action. We'll talk more about this with Chris straight up at 10 o'clock. Meanwhile, Jarvis has weighed in and said, make sure I mention that it was a great weekend for all Memphis sports. No, we had Andy Fletcher in the behind the plate at the World Series. We have the women's soccer team, ranked number 16, locks up another share of a conference title with their draw.
Speaking of, all they do is win.
North Texas. Well, they tied with North Texas, but by doing that, locked up a share of yet another conference title. They're like the Buffalo Bills of women's soccer in the AAC. Men's soccer now first place in the AAC with their win. And, of course, 901 FC clinched another first-round home playoff matchup. They beat New Mexico on the road 3-2, so that's the fourth straight top seed for Memphis. That game is 1 p.m. Saturday at AutoZone Park. And the Memphis Tiger football team also snuck out with a win. We'll talk about that and more when we return and do the fight song roundup. Before then, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty. I once again kind of starting to look around just a little bit because I should downsize. Kids are out of the house. I should downsize. And so occasionally I go to open houses now. And all these open houses I go to, houses that have been on the market 70 days, 140 days, prices have been reduced 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, whatever. And you realize it's critical to have someone who will market your home, do it creatively, do it aggressively. And that is Josh Heisa. Jody was listening to me talk about Josh Heisa right here on this very radio station. Called him within a week, 8 offers. Not saying that's going to happen to you, but that's the kind of aggressive marketing you'll get when you sign up with Josh Heisa. Phone number again, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or you can go visit Josh Heisa at joshhasthebuyers.com. Fight Song Roundup when we return, then Chris Harrington. Then we may talk a little Memphis Tiger basketball, a little NFL. We got a busy day. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the Fight Song Roundup. Well, they were about 31 seconds from blowing up this fight song, Jeffrey. I'm playing it. They won. And thank God for that. Because it was disaster looming for the Memphis Tigers. Charlotte with that 36-second drive to take the late lead. And then no better time for Seth Hennigan's 91st touchdown pass as a Memphis Tiger, breaking Brady White's record. They had previously been tied, see how the math works here, at 90, Jeffrey. And so Memphis escapes. Rock Taylor, beautiful throw, beautiful catch. Rock Taylor ends up with 6 catches, 99 yards. Tigers go to 7-1, back in the coaches' poll.
Back in the coach's poll at 25.
At 25, they tacked on a safety, and they escape. And now they got UTSA, Rice, and UAB, Jeffrey. And they're going to be 10-1.
UTSA just lost to Tulsa, which Tulsa's might be one of the worst teams.
Rice just fired his coach.
Rice just fired its coach.
And UAB will.
And UAB will if they can get money.
If they can get money,
UAB would fire their coach.
Well, 100% wants to fire its coach. So that's the place. By the way, I never argued they absolutely had to go to the pack, right? Never made that argument. But did you see in the Boise UNLV game?
Yep, Friday night.
Some people like to roll their eyes at Boise. Boise coming into Memphis, that's not like Alabama coming to Memphis. No, but you know what UNLV had with Boise there? They had a record crowd of 42,000.
Yes.
And you know where 42,000 were not over this weekend?
That would be at the Liberty Bowl.
That would be at the Liberty Bowl.
Liberty Stadium.
It's the freaking schedule.
Yes.
It's the conference. It's the schedule.
Yes.
And so you have this weird situation. It's not unlike Memphis basketball. They get no credit for the wins. And if they lose a game, God forbid.
It's the end of the world.
It's the end of the world. You're ready to blow up the fight song.
Correct.
And that's not their fault, the fact that they play this schedule.
No, like I said, Ole Miss got to host Oklahoma on Saturday.
So, again, that wasn't an option for Memphis, but hopefully someday there will be some answer to this, because it's a situation where literally, just like Memphis basketball, once you're just trying to avoid disaster, no credit for wins, just trying to avoid disaster. They will get credit if they beat Tulane. Tulane continues to look good. Took care of North Texas. They were up 45-24 in that one. They had those early losses to K-State and Oklahoma.
Yep.
But so they'll get some credit if they beat. But if, God forbid, can you imagine they win the next three and then lose to Tulane? So they're 10-2. And the season is a failure.
And you have no idea how to feel.
The Tulane game in that circumstance would be huge. Because at least, all right, fine. We played two really good, really good conference teams in Tulane and Navy.
Yeah.
And we split.
Yes. And they were both on the road.
So if you, but that game is, weirdly enough, for a, what could be a 10-win team, is for credibility.
I mean, honestly, though, if you would have said before the season, give me 11-1. And they...
11-1. If they go 11-1, but we'll get to this, because I still think the whole three-way tie, you know, is not out of.
I'm with you. The problem is now we're sitting in a situation where it's like last year they're 9-3, and until the bowl game, you didn't really know how to feel. You could be 10-2 and not know how to feel at the end of this.
Absolutely. And by the way, all I have to do is look at the stands and see how this is resonating. You would think 7-1 should be, holy crap, well, I can't wait to go out and see that team.
Right.
But that's not what's happening, because people understand, right? But they did. They got the win. And that is, of course, I mean, in the end, I covered Memphis teams that would routinely lose to Southern Miss, routinely lose to UAB, the Battle of the Bones. The damn Bones would end up down there in Birmingham. Cover teams would routinely lose to East Carolina. Cover teams. So, It is a transformation that they're beating them all, and now again they should run off the next three, and set up that game against Tulane, which could be massively significant. All right, what's next? Staying alive, staying alive, staying alive, as Ole Miss didn't look so great in the first half.
It was a tale of two halves. They played much better.
It was a tale of two halves. Much better in the second half on all sorts of fronts. 10 sacks, Jeffrey. That seems good.
And I believe 6 came in the second half.
6 or 7. Yeah. Maybe
it was 7 because they tacked on that.
Now, Oklahoma gave up 9 sacks to South Carolina.
Oklahoma's offensive line is not good.
Just got awful. It is interesting. You know, they new OC, Oklahoma comes in, rushes the ball well in the first half.
Yeah. 125 yards rushing. The thing that's obvious about this is they still should have played Jackson Arnold. Jackson Arnold gives them a much better chance to win.
Held them to 22 yards rushing in the second half.
Shut him
out, 16-0, after trailing 14-10 at halftime, 16-0. You know who got in on the action? No Trey Harris, of course. You know who got in on the action?
Caden Prescorn got in on the action.
Mrs. Prescorn should be happy about that. Big touchdown, 5 catches, 71 yards on the day. And now they got a big one, Jeffrey. Now they got a big one against this team. I say now they got a big one. Every game's a big one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is a big one.
Every game's a big one.
Yeah. It's what happens when you lose to Kentucky.
It's what happens. God, that's the loss.
That's the one.
Because Arkansas rolled over Mississippi State 58-25. Sam Pittman. Listen, Jeffrey. They should have beaten Oklahoma State and they should have beaten A&M.
Yes. They could have beaten A&M. Okay. They should have. There's no question.
They should have beaten Oklahoma
State.
Yes. I think that's fair. 673 yards of total offense. Mississippi State. Remember when Mississippi State was this? When I think of the Mississippi State football program, I think undermanned, gritty, tough defensively.
Yeah.
Right? They're always putting defensive linemen in the and offensive linebackers
and whatever. Line, yeah.
And some DBs too. They're always putting them in the NFL. Tough, whatever. Tissue paper, soft at this point.
Injuries are a part of that too.
They weren't
good to begin with, but now what little chance they had at stopping you is completely gone.
And it was really, they gave up 314 yards passing, but it was really the run.
9.7 sack adjusted per run.
359 yards rushing. Braylon Russell, the freshman, 16 carries, 175. That seems like a nifty average. I won't do the math. This was out of control. It was 41-10 at one point. And so there you go. So now Ole Miss goes to Arkansas, and as I said, every game's a big game, but that's not a place where they have had, they've had some difficult moments there, Jeffrey.
Many Ole Miss dreams have gone to die in Fayetteville.
So what do you think? I'm not asking a prediction.
Yeah, what's fun?
By the way, what did you think of Arkansas? Is that more about Mississippi State than Arkansas?
No, I think it's a little column A, a little column B, but what I think is interesting is Ole Miss and the fan base is kind of struggling to come to grips with they're a team that is largely built on a pretty good defense and just an average offense.
Isn't that interesting?
And they're used to having, at best, an average defense while having...
This was the year when, in fact, the defense was going to be improved.
Correct.
To augment the explosive offense.
Right.
And had that happened, they would you're be having the season they would be
team.
Wanting to be. Yeah.
Instead, you're looking at them and now they're going to have to go beat Georgia and they're going to have to win this one. What I would find interesting is Ole Miss's defense so good that they can't allow an Arkansas offense, which at times has been very explosive, to post a number on them? Because what would concern me is if Arkansas is able to get this game into the 30s, I wonder if Ole Miss, because I assume they're going to be without Trey Harris again.
Right.
Could Ole Miss get into the 30s as well? And I don't know.
All right, what's next? Texas A&M.
Jeff,
just
I've
like
never
everyone called it.
I have never seen a college football game flip like this. This was like you were watching the witching hour at 2:15 on a Sunday, and the game just completely flipped, and you're like, oh, LSU's done.
Well, so obviously the quarterback change was a huge part of that.
Yeah,
right?
But it really started before that. I think it started when A&M at half came out and were like, LSU's not going to run the football. We are just going to tee off on Nussmeier. And Nussmeier in the second half looked like he was just in hell.
Three picks from Nussmeier. Marcel Reed comes in. Four straight touchdown drives. And by the way, not a lot of throwing in there. Two passes.
I believe it was 31-6 in the second half with two passes.
Two passes.
Now, one was an absolute dime.
Yes, it was a dime. It was an absolute dime. Also ran the ball 9 times for 62 yards. So, Jeffrey, who's getting into the playoff from the SEC?
Georgia? I still feel pretty good about Texas. I mean, this is the other thing. Texas A&M, can you be a playoff team and do this, juggling of the quarterbacks? Like, at a certain point,
They're not going to hold that against you.
I know, I'm not saying they will, but... We don't typically see teams that are juggling quarterbacks be all that consistent.
Steve Spurrier used to. Florida.
Yeah, but those were usually his bad teams. Or those were his.
No, he had years where he was with.
Well, the gold standard was still.
The gold standard was worthful.
No. The gold standard was when he would run the play in with his quarterback. So Rob or Doug
Terry
Doug Johnson,
Dean was one of them.
Well, one year was Doug Johnson and then Jesse Palmer. They would rotate. Like one would get first down, the other would get second down. They'd run the play in with him.
Anyway, Texas A&M certainly deserves to have the fight song played next. Oh, there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
They played it a lot on Saturday.
In the land.
Saturday was a good day if you wanted to hear the best fight song in all the land.
Yeah, Michigan wins. Michigan beats State.
Uh-huh, sure.
They go back to their original game one starter,
yeah.
Michigan does. That was the problem all along, obviously.
And we got another fight.
Notre Dame thumps Navy.
There was a noticeable difference in athlete.
14, here it is. Well, it's just bizarre that Navy, which does not turn the ball over all year long, just says, here, Notre Dame.
Here you go.
Oh, wait, here it is again. And again. And again. And again. This was never close. Honestly, like, the rushing yardage, Notre Dame had 265, Navy had 222. But when you, here's the thing. If Navy had any chance at all, and as you point out, there was a notable disparity in athleticism, but you can't fall behind by handing them the ball.
Well, the other problem is one of the big reasons why the yardage, which is, there's a yardage difference, but it's not like, when you see the total yardage difference, you don't think this was 51-14, but it's partly because you have a 7-yard touchdown drive. You had a 40-yard drive, a 16-yard drive.
Because of the aforementioned turnovers.
Correct. Like, if they had to go the length of the field, they could have done that easily, too.
That's true. No, you make a good point. And it looks like Notre Dame's going to the playoff.
It looks like Notre Dame's going to be a playoff team, although I still keep waiting for the injuries that Notre Dame's had to, like, pile up and cost them. But, I mean, I guess really the only game left is, like...
So Memphis, by the way...
See?
This was, you know, again, it's a non-conference game, so you wouldn't think it would matter. But in the three-way tie scenario that we have discussed, Memphis beats Tulane, Tulane beats Navy, right? Rankings do matter.
Correct.
And so, and Memphis, by the way, has already passed Notre Dame. Did you see that?
Yes.
I mean, not Notre Dame, not Notre Dame, Navy. Memphis has already passed Navy, and that's before Navy in this aforementioned scenario.
Recency bias matters.
Would lose to Tulane, and then Memphis beats Tulane.
Yes.
Memphis is not, again, I don't think Memphis has beaten Tulane, to be clear. That would be the biggest stumbling block. I don't think Memphis is beating Tulane.
The biggest stumbling block they control. I just wonder if Friday was the last chance to get Boise.
Oh, I'm mostly talking about
but
getting.
It,
to, I'm mostly talking about
Memphis
getting to the
control,
championship game.
Yes, oh, no, I agree with you.
No, with the. I'm talking about getting to the championship game. They have a 2.5% chance, according to whoever, to get into the playoff. But because Boise did what they did, I don't know. Like, what happens, Jeffrey, if Boise loses to UNLV
in the title game?
In the title game,
because they won't be a champion. They're out.
They'll be out.
Yeah.
But will UNLV be in then? Who is UNLV
lost
to?
So UNLV's going to have 4 losses.
So they won't be in.
So
Memphis is not.
Yes.
Memphis's last chance is not gone. I mean, I know we're clinging to stuff, but I still think.
I mean, it is not over. Like, let's be clear. Like, there's still a month of football.
And Memphis shouldn't lose. I mean, they struggled against Charlotte.
Well, if you lose at that point, it's on you.
Yes, it's on you. So. This actually mattered.
Yes, absolutely.
This event mattered for Memphis,
and especially to not have it be a close loss.
They got what you needed. They needed them. You needed them to get taken to the woodshed.
Yes,
and they did. So there you go. You know, I guess we'll blow up Mississippi State. Go ahead and do it. Is there anyone you wanted to blow up, Jeffrey? Anyone who you found particularly despicable? We could have done honorable mention on the bright side, real quick. Oregon, obviously, that was not close.
No.
Oregon takes care of business there. 35-3 at the half. So there. Indiana, you continue not to believe. Cinderella lives, Jeffrey.
Yeah, there was two tough pick sixes in that one that really flipped that game.
They have not trailed for a single minute this season, Indiana. Alabama helped the Brady Cook one out, but Alabama shuts out Missouri 34-0. Brady Cook leaves in the second quarter. Boise with the big win. It is funny. They were talking about I was reading a story about how they bottled up Ashton Gentry.
Yeah, he only had
128 yards.
Yeah, no, they bottled him up.
Season low 3.9 yards per carry.
Yeah, they bottled him up.
Madsen made some plays, though. Like, they're,
no,
they're
he
not
really
just,
did.
They're not
had,
just Gentry.
Because he's had games where I'm like, he's going to cost them. And he was really good, I thought, on Saturday.
Colorado 6-2, 4-1. Travis Hunter, 9 catches, 153 yards. They are
that
bowl
game
eligible. And by the way, they could play for the Big 12 title with a playoff berth on the line. 100%. Colorado.
100%. That game was decided at the end of the first half. Cincinnati gets a stop, quote unquote, holds to a field goal, gets the ball back, gets to midfield, and you're thinking, all right, they're gonna go score and they're gonna be able to kind of if not take control of the game, they're going to at least have the lead. And that's going to be something that we haven't really seen Colorado like playing from behind all that much. But they get stuffed, and then Colorado scores like that, at like right at the end of the half with like 2 seconds left. And then they got the ball to start the second half and just took control of the game. Like, that, it was the end of the half scenario.
You know, is a big Colorado fan?
Heard?
Ja.
Yeah.
Ja's a big Colorado fan. We were in the locker room afterwards waiting to do interviews, and he went and turned on the game. They got this massive TV there, and he knows everybody. Like, he's not, you know, second or third receiver catches a ball, he's like names him goals.
So,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, he knows them all. Like, he is into Colorado. I feel bad blowing up. Go ahead, blow up. The injuries, but Mississippi State's awful.
Yeah, we blew them up.
We could blow up.
I would have blown
State.
Up Kentucky before I blew up State.
Kentucky.
Like that. But hey, Hugh's a warrior. You know?
Fought through
diarrhea.
You're just feeling.
Well, no, he leaked literally that he's fighting diarrhea.
The word leaked. Don't put leaked in that same sentence.
Well,
don't put leaked in that same sentence. We got Chris Arrington on the Grizzlies when we return, and then we will talk about Tigers play basketball tonight at Alabama, and it was a really intriguing week in the NFL. You also got another game tonight, Giants and Steelers. And over at FanDuel, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. Malik Nabers over receiving yards. He's still good, isn't he, Jeffrey? Russell Wilson over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Najee Harris, anytime touchdown. There's your same game parlay, or put together your own. They also have, by the way, same game parlays that they have pre-assembled there. Over at the site, so you can look at what they've put together as well. FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's how you do it. Go there. That's the promo code. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Taking a break. Back with Harrington on the other side. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.